And on the line now, I have Alison Gilliland, who's Labour councillor for the Beaumont Donoghue ward. Good afternoon, Alison.
Good afternoon, John. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and we'll be talking a lot. We spoke before when you were re-elected, and you spoke about what you were expecting to be dealing with. And then you were made chair of the Dublin Housing Committee. So I'd imagine you're very, very busy, Alison.
Yeah, we just got most of the councillors who selected the Housing Policy Committee as their choice on that committee now. And next week, what we'll be doing is looking through the nominations for external people on the committee. We would have 8 of those, and they come from the voluntary and community sector, the business sector, trade unions, and the construction sector itself. So the idea of having external people onto the committee is that they would bring a particular expertise, and they would be able to feed that expertise into the committee and contribute to the issues that we would be addressing and discussing. So that's the first step, and then hopefully we'll get up and running early next month.
And what now would you hope to achieve with the Dublin Housing Committee? Will you be putting proposals to the government, for instance, or?
Well, what we want to do, I suppose, is looking after our own patch and our own policies. Like, one of the big shifts that we want to make and was sort of started in the last policy committee was the concept of public housing. And what do we mean by public housing? There is no definition of it. We all talk about social housing for people who qualify under a particular income threshold, whereby Dublin City Council or an approved landlord or approved housing body would be their landlord. So we have that concept. We, as a group, are looking to broaden the idea out to having anyone, yourself, myself, anyone, regardless of income, could have the local authority or an approved housing body as their landlord. And it would be a way to support rental affordability, that the rent, if you were in a public housing scheme, would be, I suppose, benchmarked according to your income, according to the facilities that that particular development offered, such as transport links, community links, how old it was, maybe the BER, the energy rating, etc. We come up with some sort of formula. So the idea is that we shift away from segregated housing, and that we try to offer real affordability for people, particularly that middle income earners who are outside the income thresholds for social housing, but are absolutely struggling with high private rents, where the landlord is out to make a profit and maximise the value of his or her house as much as possible. So that's one of the big ticket items we're trying to push for over the next 5 years.
Now, public housing, Alison, who would be in charge of this? Would it be Dublin City Council?
The ideal would be the council, because the council is probably, and our approved housing bodies, the only not-for-market profit organisation that you could get to be your landlord. Obviously, there would have to be some sort of margin that would allow upkeep and maintenance, so that the developments of the complexes or wherever you have your public housing apartments or house would be kept in good condition and maintained. So that's there is no such scheme. We have been, I suppose, all political parties have been advocating and lobbying governments to introduce a scheme. We talk sometimes about the cost-neutral rental scheme or a cost-rental scheme. Now, there is one I see up in South County Dublin, but we have a difference of opinion with regard to what affordable rent is. In that particular scheme, if I'm not mistaken, it's set around 1,200, regardless of your income. Whereas we want to take into consideration income levels, so it's truly affordable. And if you think of somebody who's going for a mortgage, generally the bank will look to see if you can pay 30, 35, 40% of your income in rent. And that's what we would be looking at as well. As opposed to some people these days who are almost paying up to 50-60% of their income on rent and then having to cut back on other necessities, food, electricity, even sort of recreation and cultural activities.
You know, the banks don't look at the payment of rent as a guarantee you can repay on a mortgage, which is I think it's a sort of a catch-22 situation. If somebody is able to pay out rent, which is dearer than a mortgage, a mortgage repayment.
Yeah, because it is that. Because if you are meeting your rent payments every single month, that shows that you have the ability to pay a mortgage that's of the equivalent of that rent, if not lower. And I've heard a lot of people say to me that if they could only get a mortgage, and a lot of the time it's the deposit that they can't get together because they're paying so much in rent, they're not able to save. But if you could get a mortgage, a lot of the time that mortgage is actually lower than the rent a lot of people are paying.
Yeah, as I said, it's sort of a catch-22 situation. And
absolutely.
What would you like to do there? Would you like to talk to the banks and say, look, why can't you just take this into account?
What we're planning on doing is having a public forum on public housing where we would invite in the banks, approved housing bodies, academics, people in finance, people involved in the housing sector to get all those views as to what exactly is needed to allow us to develop public housing. Like we know ourselves, one of the big issues is around capacity. And as in the capacity of the council or an approved housing body to actually get the finance and to build ourselves. Because if we were able to do it ourselves, we obviously cut down on the cost of that particular unit or that particular house. The other one for Dublin City Council, and I think it's very obvious over the last couple of years when you look at our inability to quickly progress housing development, is autonomy. We go back and forward, I don't know how many times, between the council officials and the Department of Housing officials when it comes to developing some of our complexes or some of our land initiatives. And we need more autonomy to be able to take decisions ourselves and to follow them through in a speedier manner. So it's trying to, I suppose, join up all those dots, whether it be finance, capacity, getting money to get a mortgage together, getting money to actually build. Where are we going to get the builders, the architects, you know, the bricklayers on site, apprentices? So it's trying to bring people involved in those areas together that we can, I suppose, plan a roadmap that will allow us realise this ideal of public housing.
Yeah, now you say as regards to public housing, your wish would be that Dublin City Council would be in charge of this. Now, there's a lot of controversy, so to speak, going on at the moment because Dublin City Council aren't building. And the O'Devany Gardens thing springs to mind.
Yes. The O'Devany Gardens proposal was presented to the Central Area Committee last Monday, and I had the opportunity to attend. And it was twofold, I suppose. One was the unveiling of the project itself, like the heights, the densities, what it's going to look like by the developer. And I suppose if you go back 3-4 years ago as to when it started, this is one of our big tranches of land. It's about 14 acres, slightly smaller than the Oscar Train up the road there. But we wanted to develop it, so obviously we don't have the funding, we don't have the building capacity, we don't even have the design and sort of site management capacity at the moment. So we went down at the time to Minister Simon Coveney, and he was offering 10% of the cost to us. That would be 10% social housing. He'd pay for that, and we'd sort of have to enter into partnership with a developer to build the rest, and there would be a quid pro quo there whereby the developer would sell off some of the units and that would be some of his or her profit. We did manage to get a commitment from the minister to fund 30% social housing and 20% affordable. Now, at the time, there was no affordable scheme, but there was talk of an affordable purchase scheme, which we now have in the home loan scheme. However, when we look at the O'Devany proposal that's on the table, and it's, you know, a lovely complex, and it's going to be designed to very high standards, nice parks, playgrounds, all of that, there is a huge question over the affordability of the units. They're ranging from a two-bed that we're looking at about $270,000, which is affordable for somebody in that middle income, if you sort of look at it as 3.5 times your salary. However, it goes up to 350, 360, and the sort of the three-bed apartment on the top floor has a price of $420,000.
That's not affordable. No.
We're going to have to look at that. Is there wriggle room on that? Can they be brought down by at least, in the case of the top one, or not even offer the top one, to around 250 to about 320, because on average that would be what people within that middle income, whether it be a single earner up to 50,000 or two people up to 70,000, which is the Rebuilding Ireland Home Loan Scheme caters for. So it sort of has to fit into that. The other big issue we have is that, you know, 50% are going to be sold to the public in a private capacity, and it's our land, it's Dublin City Council land, it's public land, so we're almost getting no return ourselves for that, because it's the developer that will get the return on that. So it's far from ideal. It's far from the ideal that we want. We're weighing things up. We're very conscious that there will be over almost 200 people on families, in particular on the social housing list, that would be getting some of those houses. It's 200 more families housed in a permanent capacity. There's also the fact that it has taken us almost 4 years to get to this stage. It's been a very long procurement process. Now, it's been a good process because it has allowed the council to be very much involved in it and to maximise ideas and the expertise that was presented to them by various developers as part of the process. But at the end of the day, we're looking at the moment, apartments and houses not being affordable when we need them to be affordable, and 50% of them being sold in a private capacity. So that's what we have to weigh up over the next couple of weeks and decide whether we're going ahead with this proposal or we're going to go back to scratch. And if we go back, we're also very conscious that it's probably going to take us 3 or 4 more years, and we have no guarantee that the government will give us funding to develop it in a more public way.
That's always been a problem, central government providing the councils with funding.
Always, John. Yeah. It is. We don't have the facilities to raise funds for ourselves. Like, even the local property tax, 20% of that is taken from us for the equalisation, among other regional councils. And now we do have some capacity to get a loan of money and get out and finance. We're doing that with St Michael's Estate, where we are taking out a loan of 130 million so that we can offer 70% of that particular development as public rental, affordable rental there. But if we were to do the same for this one, again, it's a massive amount of finance. So we would be looking at Dublin City Council, I suppose, having, let's say, a mortgage or a loan for up to maybe 300, 400, 500 million. And that's a massive amount of money. And we do have the difficulty around the long-term viability of having that on our books, particularly when we have the minister turning around and saying, like, you know, your developments have to be off balance sheet, they can't be considered in the public debt. So that is our difficulty at the moment. So it's looking at all of that and weighing up, and definitely for the long term of the council providing public housing, that financial issue has to be resolved.
And would you have much hope for that happening, Alison, honestly?
Well, I know for myself, I think I need to go and do a small course in finance and economics, because there's so many people. Yeah. Some people are saying to us, councils can't go out there and borrow money on balance sheet. Others are saying, yes, the ECB rules do allow it. So it's cutting through all that financial noise and getting proper legal advice that tells us exactly what we can and cannot do, and then using that advice and maximising the leverage that we do have when it comes to finances.
Okay, we've about 5 minutes left, so I just want to move on to thing. I met one of the tenants from the Cromcastle Court flats. Do you remember the
yes,
stairs,
yes.
The problems with the stairs? And she was telling me that first building now, that first block of flats, is practically empty.
Yeah, we're in the process at the moment of trying to de-tenant the initial couple of blocks there, and we're finalising the plans for the entire redevelopment of them. They haven't been presented to us yet. One of the issues that we're running into, or one of the difficulties, is obviously people want to stay in their own local area because the kids are in school or their medical treatment is there in the primary care centre, and just their ordinary routine. So we've no main building in that area, as in we've no projects built at the moment. So what we're trying to do is persuade people to go a little bit further out from the Cromcastle area, and we're waiting for units as they come on stream, either from somebody unfortunately passing away in the general Kimmel yeah. West area. So it's a slow process, but we're very conscious of the need to do it. And once we get two or three of the blocks fully detenanted, we'll start then in phases to rebuild that entire development. So I would hope maybe in 2 years' time we'd be there looking at something that is almost complete and new, and we'll gain a couple of hundred more units there. So at the same time we're regenerating, we're also increasing our own housing stock.
So we're talking about demolishing that whole
we're gonna
whole
have to,
estate.
Yeah, and completely redesigning it and, you know, get maximising the potential of that particular area for good quality social housing.
Okay, Alison. Actually, the person I was talking to says she's thrilled with herself because she was rehoused in the area just a couple of roads up from where she was living. So
there's a lot of happy people. And also, I suppose, if you have a family and you're getting a house in the local area, it's that added value as well that you're within the local area, your kids can still go to the same school, and you're getting something new, and I suppose your lifelong tenancy there that you want.
So it'd be ideal to rehouse those people within the area, but that's not feasible really, is it?
No, it's not, because we had hoped that the Bunratty Phase 3 there, the plans that we have for just down from Northside Shopping Centre there, we've 68 units there, some houses and apartments going in there. They were meant to be on site back in April. Now they're rapid build, so they're being built in the factory as we speak, but they're about 3 or 4 months behind time. We had hoped that by them being there, we'd be able to move people from Cromcastle Court over to that particular development and keep them in the area. But unfortunately, it's not working out that way, John.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's the same. You mentioned the other big estate up the road from us as well. That's
Oscar Traynor.
That's way behind as well. Anyway, Alison, listen, thank you very much for taking
the
call.
Welcome.
It's always great talking to you. And I'll send you on the podcast as soon as it's up.
Brilliant.
Okay.
Thanks a million, John.
Thank you, Alison.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.